This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about something that we've discussed in different ways before, but we have to understand something about our enemy and ourselves. We have to understand foundational truths. What does that mean? What are foundational truths? Well, I've used this example because it's a true example. There is a skyscraper, I believe it's in San Francisco, if memory serves, that it's fancy, one of those fancy apartment skyscrapers where rich people live, you know, doorman, providing security, that kind of thing. Well, it's leaning. Windows are blowing out. Big problem. Why? Now, this is the place where rich people live. They spend a fortune on it, on the building and the drywall and the painting and the decor. Everything should be perfect, except the foundation. They didn't drill down all the way down to the bedrock like they normally do, 200 feet below ground. I believe they stopped at around 60 feet, and now it's leaning. The foundation, when it comes to anything, when it comes to political ideologies, religion, a skyscraper in San Francisco, the foundation has to be there or the rest of it will falter. So we all have foundational things. We all have foundations, foundational truths, if you will, about the things we believe in life. And then everything else gets built on top of that, right? Not that that other stuff isn't important, but the other stuff is completely unimportant if we don't get the foundation right. Now, we have to understand foundational truths of communists to understand where we are in this cultural war with these people. So we're going to focus on American communists, although this really is a common strain throughout all the countries that have had to fight this cultural war with communists. Communists believe, to their core, they believe that there are oppressed people and there are oppressors. Now, hold on, it's more than that. It's not just that the oppressed people have actually been oppressed, every one of them. And it's not just that the oppressors have actually done any oppressing at all. No, not at all. No. They group up people in various ways. In America, they do it by race a lot. That's also very common in communist countries. But in America, it's big. Race is a big thing. And it's just simply something that is part of the foundation of everything they believe about life. Everything. Politics, their job, everything. It guides everything. If you are a non-white, certainly a non-white male of any kind, you are oppressed. You have been oppressed, and even if you haven't been, your mom was, right? Well, okay, even if your mom wasn't, well, surely your grandpa was. Okay, but anybody, somewhere down the line, someone was oppressed. You've been wronged. Now, the oppressor, white people, the white man, he's evil. Look, even if he's not individually evil, his people certainly are. His tribe is. He's been oppressing these people for a long time. And so, in order for justice to happen, again, this is very sick, but you have to understand this is how the communist thinks. For justice to happen, these people, they have to be given essentially a get-out-of-jail-free card. They cannot be punished. They should be given large quantities of the public treasury. The law itself should work exclusively for them. This is to make things equal. These people, white people, they have to be punished. They have to be punished for all the historical injustice. Now, you understand these basic things, but what is so, so important for you to get is that hasn't changed in the minds of the communists because they lost in November. That is a bedrock foundational truth for them. And for so many of them, everything else they do, everything else they play out in their minds, all of it is based off of that foundational truth. They're building their skyscraper of life on top of that foundational truth. These people have been oppressed. These people did the oppressing. These people should be given everything. These people should be punished beyond belief. I'll play for you something maybe you've seen by now. It was a judge in Kentucky, a DEI hire. She had a man sitting in her courtroom. I made the mistake this morning of actually looking into the details of the crime, rape and kidnapping, but don't look into it, trust me. This person is a monster, an animal, not even a human being. If you read, you'll understand what I mean. Listen to how it went in court.
But Judge Davis thought the jury's recommendation was too long. She feels he hasn't mentally matured yet and never had a real shot at getting any help early in life.
But if you were to come in here and instead of being hurt and angry, which is what this court hears, right, as a 20-year-old African-American male that has been, you know, experienced this society, etc., and you would show that, yes, okay, this is the situation, this is who I am, I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to be in jail for forever.
Thompson repeatedly stated he did not care, not about his sentence, the victim, or her family. But Judge Davis emphasized she's the one that holds the pen, and regardless of what the media may think, she applies the law. To her, 65 years was an extremely long time. As she puts it, it's his whole life, one she doesn't believe should be spent entirely behind bars.
The revealing moment was, she doesn't care. She applies the law. Well, she's being honest. No, not the law as if it's written, not the laws of Kentucky or laws of America or anything like that. She doesn't care about the victim. She doesn't care about the accuser. What she cares about is that foundational truth she believes. If you are part of the oppressed class, society, the law itself, everything should work exclusively on your behalf. And she will do everything for the rest of her career. As long as she's wearing those judge's robes, everything will come from that foundational truth she believes. They're not sorry. Do you remember the conga line of freaks the Biden administration brought into the White House, from Dick Levine to Linda Fagan?
Hello, I'm Admiral Rachel Levine. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of Black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas and housing that increase their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. And 65% of Black Americans report feeling anxious about climate change's impact. Through our Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, and the Office of Environmental Justice, we're working with providers and community leaders to identify innovative approaches that empower communities to address the health consequences linked to climate change.
We currently have nearly 40% women enrolled at the Coast Guard Academy. I'm really excited about the talent and the diversity that I see coming through the academy. My daughter is in the Coast Guard as a lieutenant, and there is just nothing but opportunity for her and all of the men and women that have joined the service. I'm really excited about the future as we look ahead.
Oh, you can scream, and maybe you are if you're a normal person who understands the benefit of merit and things like that, that you can scream at Dick Levine all day long. What does that have to do with anything? That's crazy. What are you talking about? You can scream at Linda Fagan. What difference does it make? How many women are joining? How does that help the Coast Guard? This doesn't help. But you're wasting your breath. For Linda Fagan, that's a foundational truth. The foundational truth is men must be eliminated and run out of society, and everything, even really important things like the Coast Guard, has to be filled up with women and lesbians. That's what she believes. It's a foundational truth. You can beat your head against the wall you want. You can fire her. You can yell at her about it. She's never going to change that foundational truth. There are the oppressors and there are the oppressed. It's why, look, the Trump administration is doing wonderful things as far as trying to crack down on DEI madness all over the country that consume this country. They're doing the right thing, so I'm not complaining about that. But we also have to understand that the people who've been pushing this, the people who've been driving this, the people who've been benefiting from it, certainly benefiting from it financially, achieving stature in society, none of them are sorry, and none of them intend to change course. Credit to Accuracy and Media on this one. This is the University of Kentucky.
Most of our faculty are pretty progressive. We can't actually use those words because, gotcha. You know, people are dumb.
Even if it's not explicitly said, because it's like one of those like, things that, yeah, but you know. But it's like,
it's there and it's
an important like part. It's an important part of the curriculum. And I mean, if you look at the syllabuses, especially, it's there.
Yeah, okay.
Because people, you know, you have to teach these things.
Again, credit to Accuracy and Media. Here's NC State.
A little more red tape to be spent, but okay. We have now, we were under OID, so the Office of Institute of Ethical Diversity, which no longer exists now because they're not allowed to exist.
Okay.
Yeah, so it used to be that every UNC system school was mandatory for them to have a chief diversity officer, and then that chief diversity officer ran a like diversity office.
Yeah.
But you're now not allowed.
All the way.
So it sounds like a lot of flip flopping.
And that was like 11, not the chief diversity officer came about 11 years ago. That was like when it opened.
Yeah. Okay.
And now they're ending it because it's reversing that policy.
Oh.
And then. Wow. It's just a policy, but still, we move.
Yeah.
We do this.
Get creative.
Exactly. And we're still able to do the things that we want to do, have these events and programs. We have to be a little more careful.
But still, we move. We just have to be a little bit more careful. I want to actually give credit. You've probably already seen this. Texas has this disgusting legislator who should be denaturalized and deported, who's, of course, born in China. His name is Gene Wu. But I want to give credit to Gene Wu, because Gene Wu is also unbelievably stupid, and he's so stupid that he came out and, in his own dirty communist words, Gene Wu explained exactly what I've just spent the last 10 minutes explaining to you about how the law should work, how society should work, and how they intend to use the power they have. Here's Gene Wu on tribalism.
I always tell people the day the Latino, African American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. Because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone and to make things fair.
They'll tell you. They haven't changed their ways. They haven't changed that foundational way of thinking. Therefore, we are in the exact same situation we have been in. They must be defeated. You will not come to a reasonable negotiation with these people because they're not interested in negotiating with you. They're interested in something evil, destructive, and demonic, and that will, of course, be violent in the end. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I don't think big business is an ugly word. I really, truly don't. But here's what bothers me so much about it, is these big corporations and big banks, they get in league with each other and they only work with each other, and they crowd out, they ignore, they stiff arm small businesses. Small businesses, I'm very familiar with small businesses. My parents started one when I was about 18, 19 years old. They need capital. You need capital? And what happens is you go to these big banks and they say, nah, we're not interested. We have a big company we're dealing with. That's why Cardiff is here. $500,000? Same day financing. Do you need capital? We got to make payroll. I need cash now. The big businesses that are making your life miserable, you don't need them. Cardiff is here for you. Go find out what they can do for you at cardiff.co/Jesse. Cardiff.co/Jesse. It's not something I talk about a lot, and I should explain why before we continue on. I'm right. We have such a great show for you tonight. Why don't I talk about sports a lot? Well, I grew up playing sports. I was terrible, but I played baseball and basketball my entire life. When I wasn't doing that, like most children my age, I was playing flag football, the wiffle ball. That was what we did. Everyone just did sports, right? And I watched sports for most of my life. NBA when I was younger, of course, baseball, the NFL. I used to obsess over the NFL. Well, now I'm 44 years old. I don't watch hardly any sports anymore. Professional baseball is the most right-wing percentage-wise sports league. And so I've kind of drifted to that when I do watch sports, but I hardly watch any sports anymore. The Super Bowl was yesterday. I'm embarrassed to tell you I didn't even know who was playing until that day. I had to ask, who was it? I know you're probably calling me a big dork right now, but I got tired of it, man. I got tired of it. And I am the type of person, when I reach a breaking point, I will walk and I just never come back. Now, tired of what? Tired of their stupid opinions about how bad America sucks. That's what I'm tired of. And let me explain why, because I'm not doing the run-of-the-mill, they're all left-wingers and stupid. Now, that's not what I'm doing. I care very deeply about my country. I care about American culture, which is unique, and it is wonderful. And I want this wonderful culture of ours to continue for years and years and years. When my sons have had children, and Lord willing, their children have had children, I want it to continue long after I'm dead and gone. That is my interest. That is my main interest. Now, maybe that's prompting you to ask, well, who gives a crap about sports? It's just the Olympics. It's just the Super Bowl. It's just this and that. Well, that's the thing. Do you know why every single society, everyone, I read history all the time. Not some expert, but I read a lot of history. Every society has sports. Did you know that? It could be a small little village. It could be a huge empire. It could be the Achaemenid Persian Empire or a tiny band of Cherokee. They all have sports they play. There is a sport or several sports. Why? Well, sports serve a couple different purposes, critically important purposes in society. One of the main ones is it helps keep people healthy, athletic. It's about physical training. It's about learning to work as a team. I know that sounds like I'm a head football coach doing the most cliche thing in the world, but it does matter. I have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have a role to play here, and you have a role to play there. And probably most importantly, as far as societies go, the reason the Cherokee have it and the reason the Achaemenid Persian Empire has it is it brings people together. It allows people to rally around something, even something that doesn't seem important. And that something in and of itself isn't important, right? Football, just football, it's not important. Skiing, it's just skiing, it's not important. Baseball, it's not important. It's not important. But for a society, it is important that I can go with you and your family, and I'll bring my family, and you bring your friends, and he'll bring his friends, and there'll be people we don't even know from all over the place, and they'll all show up in the same place and rally around the same thing and spend 2 hours together, 3 hours together, having a beer and a hot dog. Seems mindless and meaningless, right? It is not. That's why every society does it. It has incredible meaning. It's incredibly important for a society. The Olympics are going on. We didn't do a ton of TV watching as a family when I was a child, but one thing I always remember in my house, the Olympics were on. Summer Olympics, Winter Olympics, they were just on. Maybe everyone was gathered around watching it, maybe it was just on in the background, but it was on. And I didn't really grow up in a political household. A lot of people are surprised to hear that, but we were all America. It was all about America. Who's winning? Did America win? America this, America that. And for most of my life, the athletes who competed in the Olympics talked and acted like this wonderful young lady.
Feel to represent your country like this?
It feels amazing. I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living there. I love it, and I'm so happy I get to represent USA!
That's wonderful. No politics? I don't have a single clue who that wonderful young lady voted for. Neither do you. I don't care. She's there representing America. It's an honor for her. America honored her with a spot, and she's treating it as an honor to represent the United States of America. And so she understands that something like the Olympics, she represents you. She represents me. That's what actually matters. And for my entire life, I mean, I remember I grew up watching Carl Lewis run track. I remember all of it. That's all it was. I told you we were in a political house. I never had any idea who anyone voted for, what they were all about politically. And you know what it did? It allowed the country to come together around the Olympics, around sports we didn't even give a crap about. You don't watch freestyle skiing ever. Don't lie. You don't. I've skied. I grew up in Montana, and I actually enjoy skiing quite a bit. Never once in my entire freaking life outside of the Olympics have I ever spent 5 seconds watching freestyle skiing, unless it was some blooper video on ESPN of some guy wiping out at some games or something somewhere. But when it comes time for the Olympics, well, it's not about skiing. It's about America, baby. Got to go out there and beat up on these dirty Russians. We got to go out there and be number one, America. And I bet all the athletes feel that way too. Well, why did I walk away from sports? Here it is.
It brings up mixed emotions to represent the U.S. right now, I think. It's a little hard. There's obviously a lot going on that I'm not the biggest fan of, and I think a lot of people aren't. If it aligns with my moral values, I feel like I'm representing it. Just because I'm wearing the flag doesn't mean I represent everything that's going on in the U.S.
I feel heartbroken about what's happened in the United States when, I'm pretty sure you're referencing ICE and some of the protests and things like that.
Yeah, it's been a hard time for the community overall under this administration. It isn't the first time that we've had to come together as a community and try and fight for our human rights. And now, especially, it's not just affecting the queer community, but many other communities. I know that a lot of people will say, you're just an athlete, like, stick to your job, shut up about politics, but politics affect us all. It is something that I will not just be quiet about because it is something that affects us in our everyday lives.
Isn't it exhausting? Just a bunch of brain dead morons. Don't know anything about anything. But you know what they do know? They know America sucks. Because that's how they've been trained. They've been trained in American schools. They've been trained by the American media. They've been trained by Hollywood. They've been trained by all these influences that America sucks. And so, having worked very hard for a long time to be outstanding at their sport, they get the opportunity to represent you and represent me, and they just can't help themselves. America sucks. And that is why I don't watch sports anymore. I'm tired of it. And it's more than just me being a crotchety old man who's tired of it. It's really bad for the country. You know, I don't do sports talk. It's not me. But it's bad for the country that we no longer have that moment where we can come together. And rather, we can't, because we allowed a bunch of dirty, brain-dead communists into all these things. And they do what communists always do. They just destroy everything and make it miserable. They just destroy. They're destroyers. I haven't watched the NBA in years. You turn on a press conference, now you get this.
It's shameful, really, that in our country we can have law enforcement officers who commit murder and seemingly get away with it.
You know, what happened in Minnesota was a straight-up murder, in my opinion. And it's awful. This lady was probably trying to go home, and she didn't make it home, and that's really sad. So this the whole ICE thing is a travesty. You know, it's clearly to me, it's we're attacking brown people, and I just happen to be brown.
I don't care about watching that, but beyond my viewing preferences, because that doesn't matter to you, it's really bad for the country. When I was a child, wasn't all that long ago, the NBA was Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Be Like Mike, David Robinson. We would all gather, and you had your team. I root for the Bulls. I root for the Knicks. I'm a Seattle this. No more. No more. It's all been taken away by race communists, gay communists, just Marxism in general, training a generation of young athletes that America sucks, and now they run their stupid fat mouths, and now you and I were denied that moment that really matters for society, where we come together with our neighbors, with other people in our town, with people from across the country. We just come together. I'll root for my team, you root for your team, the pageantry, the celebration, the everything. It's been taken from you. It's been taken from me. Shoot, the NFL, I miss it. I do. I miss it. I went to a Super Bowl party yesterday in my neighborhood. Told you I didn't even care about the game. Go to a Super Bowl party. I didn't make it through halftime. Now, we did turn off that stupid halftime show and turned on the Turning Point USA one, but I didn't even make it through all that. I was just bored. So out of the NFL, out on the NFL, I went home at halftime, watched a show with my wife. That's what's happened. Sad state of affairs. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. You want to feel better. I'm not saying you're sick. I'm not saying you're sick, but as you get older, maybe you've noticed lacking some energy. You're driving home from work, and it's not like you want to go home and do something. You want to go home and just do nothing. You're out of gas. You walk in, drop your keys, you're just out of gas. Now, not telling you not to drop your keys and go sit on the couch, but what if you felt like moving? I don't even want to leave. I want to go walk. That's the difference when you start taking male vitality stacks or female vitality stacks from Chalk. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Now, think about a year, 2 years. I'm at 4 years. I never want to sit down. I want to go do things. And it's not that jittery, miserable feeling. It's just having a mind full of pep and ready to go. Get some chocolate powder. Start your day with it. Get a stack. Get some Chad mode pre-workout. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV. Talk about voter ID. In fact, let's talk a little bit more about FFC, fraud, foreigners, and cheating. The Democrat Party disappears without it. Disappears. I'm not saying they lose a little bit of power. You know, they turn into a 45% party. They're a 20% party. They disappear without it. That's why they continue to get asked about voter ID. They get asked about this on camera, and I have to give some credit where it's due. Oftentimes, these TV hosts are now asking them, but the people want this. The people want voter ID. The people want voter ID. Why don't you?
For example, but requiring basic ID in order to vote is really popular. A Pew poll from a few months ago showed 83% of Americans, including 71% of your fellow Democrats, support requiring an ID to vote. Why are they wrong?
What Republicans are trying to do is to engage in clear and blatant voter suppression. What Donald Trump wants to do is try to nationalize the election, translation, steal it.
It's still going to be something that disenfranchises people that don't have the proper real ID, driver's license ID, that don't have the ID necessary to vote, even though they are citizens. This is another way to simply try to suppress the vote.
It's Jim Crow 2.0, and I called it Jim Crow 2.0, and the right wing went nuts all over the internet. That's because they know it's true.
No, it's not a voter ID law, which just says you bring ID with you to the polls when you go vote, which exists in a lot of states. That's not what this is. This says you've got to prove that you're U.S. citizens.
71% of Democrats? Let's set aside 83% of Americans. Think about the Republican Party. Do you vote Republican? I do. What's a issue that's 71% approval on the right? Guns is actually a great example. Guns. That's insanely popular with Republicans. Second Amendment rights. It's how the right thinks. Think about all the leadership. Not one or two guys saying something dumb. Think about all the leadership of the Republican Party coming out against Second Amendment rights. It's, I mean, even if they felt that way, they would never say it, right? You would never say it. You don't go against 71% of your base. But Democrat politicians do. Why? They disappear without it. Their very survival is at stake. They wouldn't care if it was 100% of Democrats who wanted voter ID. They still couldn't support it because Jamie Raskin knows what Chuck Schumer knows, who knows what Akeem Jeffries knows. They all know the same thing. They disappear if you have to show an ID to vote because Democrats cheat in every single election. You think those explanations were bad? Here was Dome.
Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
Anyway, that's the best she could come up with. She does know the truth, though. She disappears. Never has a chance to be president if we have to have a people show ID to vote. Without fraud, foreigners, and cheating, there is no Democrat Party. You ever get acid reflux? I never did when I was a kid, when I was younger. I never did. Could eat anything. You know what it's like when you're a kid. You're just basically a garbage disposal. But at about the time I hit 40, I started to figure out, man, I'm laying here, I'm trying to go to sleep, and I maybe need to make some changes. Never got it figured out. I haven't had acid reflux in, I think, 2 years, because I figured out that cowboy colostrum is my path to be free of it. Just my gut in general feels better, works better. You want that? Here's what you need to do. You need to go get some. I use chocolate. I put it in my coffee every morning. Get some. Start taking a scoop, maybe two scoops. I take two scoops a day. Your gut is about to be so much better. CowboyColostrum.com. Use the code JesseTV. I need to talk about something that happens all the time. And this is not something that will help you and me in the present. It'll help us for every single day we care about politics and culture and the future of our country. We're going to talk about the tactics the enemy uses and why. First of all, let's discuss this. I don't know what your beliefs are. It's not my business. It's your business. But I am about to tell you what a central belief of the communist is. A central belief of the communists since communism began is that the church is the enemy. The church is the enemy. People who believe in God, people who believe in Jesus, people who read the Bible and believe in its words, the communist considers those people to be mortal enemies. And why? Because they serve a higher power than he can control or censor or kill. And the communist needs to take the place of God to do all the things he wants to do. Why, when the Bolsheviks took over the Soviet Union, why were they killing the priests, burying them alive, torturing them, tearing down the churches? Why? Same thing, Cambodia, East Germany, China, what the Spanish communists raping the nuns, murdering the priests. Why over and over again? In Romania, Pitești prison, the worst place in the history of the world, according to Solzhenitsyn. Who were those poor souls being tortured to death over and over and over again in Pitești prison? Do you know who they were? They were the Christians who would not convert to communism. Communists view the church as a huge, huge firewall against what they want to do. So they're always against it, always trying to get after it. But here's the problem. Good people, like in Spain, maybe you, they recognize an open attack, a naked attack. You start burying a priest alive. That tends to wake the church up, and the church all of a sudden gets involved. So the communists needed to find a better way. And a better way was this. Instead of going up against the church, infiltrate the church. Take the church itself, take over the religious institutions. And then, instead of raping the nuns, just kind of subvert the gospel and take those people who are sitting there in the pews, take them and just kind of give them an off-ramp to communism. So that, you have to understand, has always been a communist agenda. And another thing you have to understand before we get to the comments made by Kentucky's governor and others, another thing you have to understand is this. The Democrat Party of even 1980, 1990, is nothing at all like the modern Communist Party today. Absolutely nothing. And you don't have to take my word on that. Go look at their stances on issues. Go down the list. From immigration to gay marriage to this Democrat Party in 2026, we almost shouldn't even call them that because they bear no resemblance to what it used to be. Now, that's a problem if you're a Democrat politician telling your base that children should cut their penises off. Wait, what? Why is that a problem? Because the Democrats of today who want to get elected today and stay elected today, they need older, normal Democrat guy to not get too freaked out, and they need him to keep voting Democrat. You know, he's been a Democrat his whole life. He hates Republicans, but he's a union guy, works with his hands. Or the guys decide, older lady, she's a Democrat, her mom is a Democrat. She doesn't like Republicans, of course. But she's in church every Sunday. She sits in those pews. And how in the world could you open up the Bible and see the things the Bible says about children, protecting them, homosexuality, it's all laid out right there. How could you read those words if you're a Democrat? You sit in those pews, you read those words, and then you go vote for the party that pushes that? What that lady needs, the communist knows this, what that lady needs, what that old union guy needs, he needs permission. He needs somebody to give his conscience permission to go vote Democrat so he doesn't feel evil or weird. He needs that permission. And communists like Andy Beshear know this. That's why they sit down and when they're asked about, honestly, child trans stuff, I think it's some of the most demonic stuff I've ever heard of in my life. It is on par with anything ISIS ever did. To take a child, a confused child, and to use his parents and his teachers and psychiatrists and medical institutions to twist his mind and then to use medical instruments to destroy his body is on par with the worst evils in the history of mankind. So if you're a governor of Kentucky, a Democrat, and you want to sell that to that little old lady in the pew, here's how you do it.
But we rarely talk about the why. People want to know what drives us, especially in a world with social media where everyone's looking for the next authentic thing. For me, that's my faith. Most of the decisions I make are based on that golden rule that says we love our neighbor as ourself. Yeah. And that parable of the Good Samaritan that says everyone is our neighbor. Yeah. And so when I've taken actions like vetoing the nastiest piece of anti-LGBTQ legislation that ever came through my state, I described it in those terms. I said my faith teaches me that all children are children of God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want people picking on those kids.
Yeah.
Isn't that so masterful? That little old lady sitting in that church pew wasn't quite sure how she felt about all of it, but man, you know what? That does sound like Jesus. Praise the Lord! Vote Democrat! It's what they do. It's really, look, I really shouldn't make light of it, because it is the deepest, darkest evil to take somebody's faith and twist it for the devil's purposes. But that's what the devil does. Remember, as the Bible says, the devil knows Scripture quite well. He knows it better than you do. You know that? Knows it much better than me. The devil knows Scripture, and he will quote it to you. Now, if you're a Democrat, you're sitting in that pew. You can read the Bible. You know what the Bible says about children? Jesus himself talking about, don't harm these children. Don't you dare harm these children. We have books, Psalms, talking about, I knew you in your mother's womb. It's impossible to read the words of the Bible and think it's okay to kill an unborn baby. You don't need a Democrat or a Republican or me to tell you, if you read that, if you believe the words that are in the Bible, it's impossible to think that that's okay. So, if you're a Democrat running in the state of Texas, James Tallarico wants to be the Democrat Senator of Texas. Very difficult. James Tallarico understands that if he's ever going to win as a Democrat in the red state of Texas, he needs people in those pews. He needs their conscience to allow them to vote for him. But he's a demon who loves abortion. He'll drive you to the abortion clinic himself if he could. How to do that? What to do? What to do? He went on Joe Rogan. Here's what he did.
But I say all this in terms of, in context of abortion, because before God comes over Mary and we have the incarnation, God asks for Mary's consent, which is remarkable. I mean, go back and read this in Luke. I mean, the angel comes down and asks Mary if this is something she wants to do, and she says, if it is God's will, let it be done. Let it be. Let it happen. So to me, that is an affirmation in one of our most central stories that creation has to be done with consent. You cannot force someone to create. Creation is one of the most sacred acts that we engage in as human beings, but that has to be done with consent. It has to be done with freedom. And to me, that is absolutely consistent with the ministry and life and death of Jesus. And so that's how I come down on that side of the issue.
What a brilliant lie, isn't it? If you have to be honest, let's give the devil credit where it's due. Very clever. Very, very clever. What a convincing argument. Hey, it's what Jesus would want. Very evil, but very clever. And it was done on purpose. And remember, I talked in the opening about the communists destroying the churches and the pastors in the Soviet Union when they took over. But here's the thing. They didn't destroy all of them. They knew they couldn't destroy all of them because the people, it was such an Orthodox Christian society, the people would demand some. I have to be able to attend service somewhere. So, well, you find the pastors who are weak, demonic, pathetic. You find the pastors, if you're a communist, you can co-opt the ones who work for you on Sunday instead of the good Lord. Did you think that that communist tactic stopped in the Soviet Union? Oh man, you're mistaken.
If Jesus were here today, he would be a clinic escort, distracting women from the hatred of the protesters, or an abortion doula, holding women's hands and offering support and love as they end their pregnancies. If Jesus were giving his sermon today, he might also have said, "Blessed are those who end pregnancies, for they will be known for their loving kindness. I have been pregnant 4 times. I have had 2 abortions, and I have 2 amazing children.
Deeply evil. But you see, devil's been using those tactics since long before communism. The communists, because communism is of the devil, adopted those tactics. They've been employing them for 100 years now, and they are well at work employing them in America today. They view the church as the enemy. Never forget that. They view the church as the enemy, and they're trying to give Democrats permission in their minds to continue to vote for these monsters. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. All right, it is time to lighten the mood, and I got to give credit to Megyn Kelly's team for putting this together. Listen, I want to explain something to you. Don't be miserable. Politics, especially because we have this horrible, horrible, nasty cultural war going on, if you allow it to consume you, it can make you miserable. If you find yourself texting friends and family members at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night about the latest political scandal, you got a problem. Put your phone down. And if you don't, then what's going to happen is as you get older, you'll get more and more and more and more and more miserable. And then eventually you're going to get to a place where you're just bitter. Would you like to see the side-by-side Megyn Kelly's team created of someone like J.D. Vance versus someone like Michelle Obama? Here it is.
There are certainly sacrifices that come along with this life.
Our kids are little. We're going to have to move.
There are also a lot of good things.
It's expensive to live in the White House.
What a blessing it is to be here.
There were moments when I didn't feel like I got enough attention.
We live in this beautiful, very protected mansion that the American people have gifted us.
Many people don't know. I mean, much is not covered.
Most of our meals are prepared for us. So we don't have to worry as much about cooking.
You're paying for every food, every bit of food that you eat.
There are a lot of things that in some ways make having a baby easier.
How do you raise kids in the White House? It's dangerous.
You don't have to worry about TSA lines when you're the vice president. Air Force Two makes transportation pretty easy.
We had to pay for their travel to be on the plane.
My attitude towards kids.
They're a hassle.
What the hell have we gotten ourselves into? No more kids.
They mess you up.
Then we had a second, then we had a third, and now both of us are just like, what's one more?
Whatever.
BJD. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.